On this Labor Day weekend, if you happen to be near Highway 61, which runs north from New Orleans to Chicago and beyond, you're traveling a road that connects some of the great roots music in American culture.
I'm going down number 61. I'm going to leave her walking. I'm going down number 61.
This song, the Highway 61 Blues, was recorded by Jack Kelly and the South Memphis Jug Band in 1933. It's just one of the dozens of songs that worships the interstate that some argue is the most important road in American music.
Man, that 61 highway, longest highway that I ever know. And read from England to Georgia, lead down to the Gulf of Mexico.
If you want directions to the crossroads where Robert Johnson made that deal with the devil, or just want to know whether that little town in the Mississippi Delta has an ATM machine or a pharmacy, British travel writer Richard Knight can tell you. He's written a very practical how-to guide to touring the Blues Highway. It's called The Blues Highway, New Orleans to Chicago. And Richard Knight joins us from London. Welcome, Richard Knight.
Thank you. Hello.
What got you interested in the Blues Highway?
Well, I've been a blues fan since I was probably about 14. I think it was when John Lee Hooker's Mr. Lucky album suddenly made the charts in Britain that I became aware of blues, and it was my interest in the music that led me to want to go and look at the areas in America where that music came from, and Highway 61 is the artery which runs right through all these places.
Now, let's say we have a week, and we'll get to the big places, but, you know, people have heard of New Orleans and Chicago and Memphis. What about, you know, some of the places that charm you, and are you still able to find blues in a couple of these smaller places?
Well, one of the most overlooked areas in the States, in my opinion, is the Mississippi Delta itself, because there isn't much there, as you probably know. It's a wide, large, flat area with a big sky and endless roads that go on forever. But to me, the Mississippi Delta was far and away the most evocative, most beautiful, and most interesting of the areas I visited. There's a certain magic in Mississippi which is really hard to resist when you get there.
Tell us about Clarksdale, Mississippi.
Well, Clarksdale is probably the blues nucleus or the hub of blues in Mississippi. This is a town where a lot of the great people came from. John Lee Hooker, who I've just mentioned, and Muddy Waters and all sorts of others made their names in and around Clarksdale. So that, to blues lovers, is a kind of mecca. When you go there now, it's interesting because there is a blues museum, but beyond that, there isn't a great deal of specific blues relevance for you to see, but there is this certain kind of feel which is unique to the Delta. The town is littered with these juke joints. They're kind of hole-in-the-wall blues bars where you find the raw music still played today.
Where else would you go? You've got Cleveland, Mississippi here, Jackson, of course, Leland.
I had one of my best experiences in Cleveland, going to a juke joint, which was a little more than a barn in the middle of a cotton field, a place called Poor Monkeys, where I drove out at night sort of across the cotton fields and found this place and found a great welcome and some great music, even though I think I was an unusual visitor to that particular place.
Who was the audience?
You know, there's an interesting area, this, which we haven't quite touched on, but it's that blues is obviously black music, and I'm a young white guy all the way from England, and so not the sort of guy that the Poe Monkeys audience was expecting to walk through the door that night. And when I did go into this shack in the middle of these cotton fields, it was really like that film cliche that everyone absolutely stopped talking and stopped playing their instruments and turned to stare at me. But I was sort of eventually well received, and there was a band playing there that night who were playing sort of raw, lively blues, and people were dancing on the tables, and it didn't take long before I was dancing with them. And in fact, looking back at it, it was one of the most memorable nights of the whole trip.
You visited Memphis for a while. That is certainly one of the meccas. Can you actually see Jerry Lee Lewis's ranch?
Yeah, and it's an interesting experience, that, because most people go to Graceland, which is quite an impressive place. I mean, it's vulgar, you might say, more because Elvis had pretty bad sense of interior design, in my view. But still, the extent of his wealth and how he spent it on his great car collection and everything else is kind of impressive. But At one time, Jerry Lee Lewis, as you might recall, it was considered to be the rival king of rock and roll, but their fortunes kind of diverged, and it's highlighted nowhere better than going to see his ranch after Graceland, and it's a sort of slightly sad experience. But to me, it just seemed like a bit of a sprawling bungalow with a car collection which was, you know, not that much more impressive than what I find in my own garage. And it's a very stark comparison to Graceland, which is this great temple of opulence.
Mm-hmm. And there's a good guide here to what's on Beale Street in Memphis, B.B. King's Blues Club, Blues City Restaurant, Cafe, the Police Museum, Schwab's Dry Goods Store.
Beale Street is an important street because this is the place that people who migrated north from the south had to pass through, really. It's like an arena in which people would cut their teeth, musicians would cut their teeth. The place to make your name in the 40s and 50s was on the sidewalk in Beale Street, and so a great deal of important things happened there. And even today, Beale Street is an invigorating line of noisy and exciting clubs. But Beale Street is kind of a shock, in fact, when you've travelled north through Mississippi, where blues is actually very often slightly buried and slightly overlooked, and it's kind of a ghost of a genre of a music which floats across those crossroads late at night. When you get into Memphis, suddenly you find that the music is being celebrated and you hear it on every single corner, and Beale Street is like a living musical theme park almost. So anyone who travels through Memphis is going to want to spend a bit of time there.
In addition to writing this book, you run a tour for blues and music aficionados. Who wants to make these kinds of tours? Are they mostly Americans or not?
They're probably mostly Europeans, actually, which is possibly surprising. But I think it highlights a sort of a thing that happens here, which is that often the chance to go and look at the land where blues was born is more exciting to a European blues lover than to an American blues lover. I'm not sure whether that's strictly true, and I'm sure there are people listening who will disagree, but I think that sometimes it takes an outsider to see what's really exciting about a place. And if you go to Mississippi now, I certainly encountered a kind of an attitude that local people were sort of surprised that I'd travelled halfway around the world to look at the place where Robert Johnson was buried, or where Elvis Presley got his start in Memphis. But beyond that, to me, this was a sort of a quintessential American road trip. I mean, when you travel in America, you imagine yourself cruising down a long straight road with no other cars on it, probably with a soft top and a big blue sky, and listening to the likes of B.B. King, and, you know, spinning through Mississippi and rolling on up into Chicago in that style is to me a very American experience, and so a very attractive one.
Well, Richard, it's been a great pleasure taking the Blues Highway with you.
Well, thanks very much indeed for having me on.
Richard Knight is the author of The Blues Highway, New Orleans to Chicago, a travel and music guide. Thanks again for being with us, Richard.
Thank you.
Oh, my heart gets a beating like a hammer, and my eyes get full of tears. Babe, but it seemed like a million years.